You raise me up so I can stand on mountains.
Hey, what's up, everybody? My name is Josh Story.
And I'm Brett Musselwhite.
And you're listening to another episode of FAQs with Brett and Josh, where we are answering questions about what it looks like to follow Jesus as a college student.
Yeah, today we are going to be talking about kind of the worship side of our ministry and kind of digging into some different areas of intentionality and, you know, questions that we get a lot about why we do certain things. Josh, you want to kind of expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the most common questions that we get from a worship service standpoint is students saying, hey, why don't we sing that song? Or why do we sing this song? Or, hey, I noticed that you changed the lyrics to that song. Why did you do that? And I think that that brings up a really important topic. The words that we sing matter. And so we believe firmly that we want to sing very specific words and that not all words are created equal. So we're going to just talk about why we sing certain songs and why we don't sing other songs.
Yeah.
And so I think starting off, it's important to understand like why we sing in general. And that's because we have this scriptural command to sing, right? So like Psalm 33 says, sing for joy in the Lord, O you righteous ones. Praise is becoming to the upright. Give thanks to the Lord with the lyre. Sing praises to him with the harp of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. Side note, Brett, we need a harp of 10 strings, man. I noticed that we're very lacking in the 10 strings instruments.
Yeah, if anybody out there knows how to play the harp with 10 strings, just shoot me an email or a text and we'll make sure to get you up there.
Yeah, totally. But also, Psalm 96 says, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim good tidings of his salvation from day to day. I mean, you can go on and on. Like the Psalms are so full of verses about, hey, we're called to sing praise to the God who has gone to great lengths to save us.
Yeah, that's a great intro to this topic, Josh. I think a lot of times we have just gotten so used to this rhythm of walking into church and singing a couple songs and hearing a sermon.
Totally.
And maybe singing one, maybe two at the end.
Yeah.
And I don't think people think about why we're doing it and why churches continue to do it. And I think a lot of churches aren't thinking about why they're doing it. I think they're just doing it because I think that's what they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
And I think it's really important for us to know that God has called us to do this. And I think more than just him calling us to do it, like there's so much freedom in worship. And I think there's a really huge freedom in the vulnerability that comes with true, authentic worship.
Yeah.
Just in the response and the understanding of our sinfulness and God's grace to save us through Christ. And if we're really singing out these songs and if we're lifting our hands and really opening our hearts and our minds to hear what God has for us and to just proclaim truth about him.
Yeah.
It's a really freeing thing.
Totally.
And I think a lot of times people just read the lyrics on the screen and they'll keep their hands in their pockets. And I think a lot of worship leaders will just play the music and sing the songs and they aren't really thinking about what they're doing. And in worship, we have a really unique opportunity to, as a worship leader, to lead people into the throne room of the Lord.
Totally.
And to join in a chorus with all the believers and just praising him.
Yeah.
And I think if we're not keeping that mindset and everything, it's going to really affect the way that we do things in a negative way.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, and I think, you know, too, if we've truly been saved, like, we should want to sing. That should produce this response within our heart of, and I just want to just celebrate, you know? Like, in college sports, like, when your team wins, what do you do right after? You sing the fight song, right? Like, you know, like we sing as a culture to mark celebration. So why would we not sing as a marker for, I mean, Christ has accomplished for me on the cross what I can never do on my own.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just get after it, you know? But like you said, like we sing for very specific reasons. And so we're going to kind of walk through a few different lenses with which we view worship songs in order to figure out what are we going to sing on Sunday. And I think the first one, probably the most important one, is theology, right? Like, we sing songs based on the theology of that song because we want to make sure that if we're singing to God, we want to sing songs that have a right perspective about God, who he is, what he's done, because we want to sing accurately to God, right?
Yeah, we're called to worship him in spirit and in truth. And so if the song is not true, if the song doesn't have good theology, then we're only really hitting one side of that coin. And I think it's really important to talk about what that looks like, what good theology looks like in worship songs. Because in worship songs, you have, you know, there's different types. There's songs that are telling a story. There's songs that are prayers. There are some, like, super artistic songs that are written from God's perspective of him singing over us.
Right.
And I think when you look at songs in those ways, you have really different parameters on what good theology looks like.
Totally.
I think. And I think it's really important to make sure that people understand where this is coming from.
Yeah, for sure. So let's talk about examples of what we call good theology. I think one of the first songs that comes to my mind is Jesus Paid It All, which is, you know, an older hymn. But, I mean, just listen to these words. It says, I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch him pray. Find in me thine all in all. Because Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. I think what's really interesting about that chorus, that's one of the most singable, most recognizable choruses. And it's so simple. It's such a really basic chorus. But like the gospel is so explicit within those words that he paid it all. We owe everything to him. Sin had left a crimson stain and he washed it by the snow. I mean, that is in a chorus what the gospel is, and that's really great theology.
Yeah, I think for us specifically at Christ Chapel, just with our theological background, I think a lot of the songs that we will view as good theology is songs that make much of God.
Yeah, totally.
And not much of us.
Totally.
I think for me specifically, like I grow in my understanding of my sinfulness every day. And I know that I bring nothing to the table that's worthwhile.
Yeah.
That anything good in me is from the Lord. And so chances are I'm not going to sing a lot of songs about, oh man, well, I did this, or I met you here, or I reached out and like you grabbed me. But like, really, I think he reaches down and grabs us and
totally.
In our sin, in our brokenness, and saves us. And so I think that is another aspect of kind of a grander idea of theology, of songs that make much of him,
right,
and less of us.
Yeah, totally. Because it's like, if I'm singing about me and what I've done, then I've missed it.
Also, another song that has really great theology is Oh Praise the Name,
yeah,
by Hillsong.
Totally.
And I think that song really is just telling the story of Christ coming down to earth and dying our death and being raised again, and that he's coming back. And it's just a really great, solid, theological, scriptural, biblically based song. And I think what's cool about it is the chorus is kind of our response as a congregation to say, oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise, O Lord, O Lord our God. And the verses are telling the story about what God's done and how he's done it.
Yeah.
And the chorus is us proclaiming as the body of Christ to say, we're going to continue to praise you.
Yeah.
Because that's the only thing we can do. It's the only thing we should do in response
totally.
To that.
But about examples of songs that might not have the best theology.
Yeah, I think it's important to say and differentiate between like, not just good theology and bad theology. I like
right.
the way that you said that, of not the best theology.
Yeah.
I think about a song like Spirit Breakout, which at the Aardvark we sing a verse of Spirit Breakout a lot,
yeah.
Kind of as a bridge in songs that don't have a bridge or an extra bridge. And I think this song, Spirit Breakout, let me read you some lyrics from a verse. A chorus. Spirit break out, break our walls down. Spirit break out, heaven come down. And I think at face value, if we were to just take that at face value,
yeah.
It's like, yeah, we really want the Spirit to move. We really want to see God's Spirit move. But I think it's really important to think about what a chorus is communicating, what words are communicating, because I think a lot of times we do a poor job of realizing that when we communicate, it's on us, not just what we mean to communicate, but what is received on the other end of things. And I think this song is a specific example. And I think Jesus Culture, who basically made this song well known, has a different theological perspective than we do. But I think if we look at the term, the phrasing, spirit break out, break our walls down, spirit break out, heaven come down, I think it almost leaves kind of this unspoken expectation that if God doesn't move, then he's not really there. Right. Like if he doesn't break out and do crazy things in this moment, that he's not really there.
Totally.
And I think that's a really, that can be a really dangerous perspective to have.
Yeah.
And I think it's a subconscious thing.
Totally.
I don't think that they meant to communicate, oh, well, if God doesn't do this, then he's not good.
Right.
And I think it's really important to know that they didn't mean to do that.
Right.
But I want to be a worship leader, and I hope that if I ever do something that goes against this, that people would call me out on it, because I'm not perfect and I do make mistakes. And there are some songs that I've led before where I'm like, man, I didn't really think about what that was communicating as a whole. Totally. But I think songs that kind of have an underlying message or an underlying expectation that kind of puts God in a box in a way, which is really interesting, because I think Jesus Culture is a church that really wants to not put God in a box.
Right, totally.
And when you're singing these things with expectation, if God doesn't move in a way that some people may expect him to move, they're going to think, oh, well, God wasn't there tonight.
Right. Or even to even move in a way that you want him to move, to say, hey, I would love to see God do blank.
Right.
And then if God doesn't, it's like, well, where was he? It's like reigning in heaven on his throne. Like,
yeah.
You know, sovereignly holding the world together. And so I think that, yeah, there's this kind of expectation of understanding, yes, we absolutely want God to move in incredible ways, but also having a right perspective of who he is and how he works, that the knowing that if God doesn't show up in some incredible, miraculous way, that doesn't change who he is and how he's working.
Yeah, and I think it would even be different to say, and obviously, like, lyrically and phrasing-wise and musically, it wouldn't make sense for them to say this. But even if it said, we want to see your spirit break out.
Yeah.
I think that would be so different than just saying spirit break out.
Yeah.
Because spirit break out is a command.
Right, totally.
And it's not, they're not presenting it in, like, a request. Yeah. They're not saying, oh, God, please come do this.
Yeah.
Like, they're saying, do this.
Right.
And I think to some people, not to them, but I think to some people who hear that or sing that or see that, they might think, oh, well, if God didn't break out, then he doesn't listen to our prayers.
Right.
Which is not true.
Yeah, totally.
All that to say, you can do this with any song.
Totally.
But I think your heart behind it and your intentionality behind it is what's really important, because I think too many people aren't intentional about it. Totally. And I think I speak for both of us that we really want to be intentional about everything that we're doing.
For sure.
And so this might be really boring. You might have totally checked out of this conversation because you're like, oh, that song's so great, or I really love Spirit Breakout.
Yeah.
But this is just us kind of nerding out and digging deeper into why we do the things we do and why we don't do the things we don't.
Totally. So that's the first lens, right? We're talking about we want to sing songs that are theologically sound. So if you have checked out, it's time to tune back in, because these are like the more, I think, more kind of nuanced stuff too. So another lens is that there are some songs that don't make any sense lyrically, especially if you're a non-believer. And so one of the things that we care a lot about is that when we put together a worship service, we keep in mind that there are ideally those coming in the door who don't know Christ or are unchurched. And if you're unchurched and even just the idea of singing songs is kind of odd to you, like, I don't want us to be singing a song that you just like read and you're like, I don't even know what the heck that even means.
Mm-hmm.
And so the point is, if you're a believer and you're churched and you've been around church for quite a while, and there are lyrics that you read and you're like, I don't know what that means, then a non-believer is going to be like, ah, that's super, super weird, right? Which there's a few of those songs.
Yeah, right? I think it's really important, specifically for us as a ministry that is really geared toward reaching people who might not be churched.
Yeah, totally.
I think it's really important to think through every song that we sing, because I think there's going to be songs that are just not going to make sense to an unbeliever.
Right.
And I think that's okay, because what we're singing about is things that, you know, before I started walking with the Lord, I would have been like, what does this even mean?
Yeah, totally.
And there are some songs that I'm still like, what does that even mean? Or like, there's, when I read scripture sometimes, I still don't fully understand what it's trying to say. But I think there are some songs that can be really confusing and unclear. There's a song from Elevation's newest album called There's a Cloud.
Yeah.
Which is actually the title album, the title song of the album.
Yeah.
I think the verses are really great. I think the chorus and the bridge can be really confusing. I think musically, the song is amazing. Like, instrumentally, melodically, I think it's awesome. I think the build of the song is amazing.
Yeah.
I really enjoy the verses. But I don't understand the chorus. I don't feel like it has a biblical foundation. And as a believer, as someone who leads worship for a living, I still don't really understand what they're trying to say.
Yeah. Give an example of, like, the lyrics to that.
Okay, so I'll just read you the first two verses really quickly. Hear the word roaring as thunder with a new future to tell. For the dry season is over, there is a cloud beginning to swell. To the skies, heavy with blessing, lift your eyes, offer your heart. Jesus Christ opened the heavens, now we receive the Spirit of God. And then the chorus is, we receive your rain, we receive your rain. Which, to me, as a songwriter, as a musician, like, I'm going to be honest with you, that's a throwaway chorus. Like, right. I feel like they had these verses that they really loved and this music that they really loved. And I don't know if maybe they were on a deadline or what. But I feel like just having the chorus say, we receive your rain, we receive your rain, is a total cop-out, in my opinion. Totally. I feel like they took what could have been an amazing song and just mailed it in.
Yeah.
Partly because I don't really understand what rain they're receiving or why they're receiving it. Or maybe they're just singing because the second verse talks about blessing and receiving, you know, from the heavens, the Spirit of God. And it's like, are you talking about the Spirit or are you talking about blessings? Is God going to, like, give us a lot of money? Right. Or are you just saying, like, I'm going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit a second time?
Yeah.
As a believer, as someone whose job is to, like, lead people in worship and sing songs and write songs, I don't understand what they're saying.
Yeah.
And I think it's really dangerous if we're in a situation where we're singing songs like this, because what about someone who doesn't know anything about Christ? What about someone who doesn't know anything about the Bible?
Yeah.
And I mean, what does this mean?
Yeah.
And the bridge, like I said, musically, I love this song. The bridge says, like a flood, we receive your love when you come. But what is that? I don't really understand. I don't know. I feel like they kind of bought into this water metaphor that they just ran with.
Yeah.
And it didn't really make sense to me.
Well, and the thing too is, if you hear that song, it's really artistic. Like, it sounds epic.
Yeah. Right?
Like, it sounds awesome. But when you're thinking about singing songs in a corporate worship setting, especially if you're trying to be sensitive to those coming in who are unchurched, I'm going to be super lost. Right?
Yeah.
It's like, we're singing about rain.
Yeah.
In church. What? Like, you know, and so I think part of it too is, you know, so if we come across songs that for us as people who have studied a lot of scripture, for us to say, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, then we're not going to sing it, because someone who's coming in who is unchurched is going to be super freaked out by it.
Yeah. And there are some songs that need a little bit of setup, that need a little bit of background introduction, which is great. But having heard that band lead that song live, I know that they didn't do any introduction for it, and I was really confused.
Yeah.
Another song that I think of when I am kind of diving into this idea is Heart Like Heaven by Hillsong, which was on their Empires album.
Yeah.
Great album. Love the song. It's very, very great musically.
Yeah.
Let me read you the chorus, the lyrics of the chorus. And if you understand what they're saying, I want you to email me and tell me what they're trying to say in less than two sentences. the chorus is, singing holy, heart like heaven, singing holy. God Almighty, own this heartbroken sound, singing holy is your name, holy is your name. Does that make any sense to you, Josh?
Yeah, no, not really.
So there's another example of like, when we hear a really good melody, right, we can totally, just totally ignore what we're singing.
Right.
And not realize that it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And I speaking for myself, I want to be a person who knows what I'm singing, who understands what I'm singing. Because what we say and what we say about our God is what people are going to think we believe about our God. And if what we're saying doesn't make sense, then people are going to be really confused.
Totally. And I think that on the flip side, there are songs I would say are really, really solid that we sing that still might be confusing, but they allow us to set it up in a way to where it goes, oh, so prime example, I feel like I'm Thou Fount is a really solid hymn, but there are some lines in there that if you don't know vocab words, and I think that's the key, it's like, it's not that I don't understand the concept, it's that I don't understand vocab words, but if you tell me what the word means, I get it, right? So the second verse says, here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy great help I've come, and I hope by thy good pleasure to safely to arrive at home. A lot of guys are like, I don't know what an Ebenezer is.
Honestly, right? I bet a lot of people who have heard that song for the first time are thinking, why is anyone talking about Scrooge?
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah, no, totally.
Like, if you don't know what that means, you're like, what the heck? And then you don't catch any of the rest of the song, right, because you're just trying to figure out why they were talking about Scrooge.
Yeah, totally. But an Ebenezer is a scriptural term for a stone of remembrance. So what it's talking about is, here's this stone, here's this monument, here's this thing that we use to remember, and the whole time it's like, that's the thing that I'm going to look back to that's going to draw me back to Christ, because this is my kind of like North Star in a way, right? And so understanding vocab words, but that's a lot easier to set up when singing than just singing about some concept, and you're like, yeah, I don't even know what that even means. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I also think it's important to note that there are some songs that don't make sense in a corporate worship setting that might be really good for, like, if you're having a quiet time with the Lord, yeah, totally, or you're just, like, really reflecting or really wrestling.
Yeah.
Like, I think there are some songs that can be really good for that. One example is, it's a song called Pieces by Amanda Cook.
Yeah.
That, like, there are some really confusing words in the bridge of that song that don't really make sense and aren't founded in scripture. But I think that song is a song that's really great to help you realize like the depth of God's love for you, and that he is not giving you a part of himself. He's giving you all of himself.
Yeah,
and
totally.
We probably will never sing that song in a corporate setting.
Yeah.
I think it's really important to decide what's worth it.
Yeah.
You know, 'cause there are some really great songs that wouldn't be good in a corporate setting. But you might have a bunch of people say, why don't we do this song? This song's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, the song might be great, but I'm not thinking about just you or just me when I'm leading worship on a Sunday morning. I'm thinking about
people. Or what gets you hyped.
Yeah, exactly. I'm thinking about people who don't know the Lord, and I want them to hear truth, and I want them to be in a place where they can understand what God wants them to hear.
Totally.
And I think sometimes there are risks not worth taking.
Yeah.
And some people might disagree with me on that, yeah, but we can talk about it.
Yeah, totally. So another lens, and I didn't realize this for quite a while, but there are some songs that make men feel super weird. So I first noticed this when I had a guy walk up to me after we sang You're Beautiful by Phil Wickham. And that's a really theologically sound song. There's a lot of walking through what the gospel is, and but every verse ends with "You're beautiful." We're declaring that God is beautiful, not because he has cute dimples or, you know, anything else, but because what he has accomplished for us is beautiful, right? And so, but this guy walks up to me and he says, "Hey, man, I feel really weird singing that song because I'm a guy and I'm telling this other dude that I can't see that he's beautiful." And it just makes me feel weird. And I kind of started laughing because in my super churched world, I was like, well, I hadn't really ever thought of it in that sense. But I think there are a lot of songs that are being written that kind of come from this standpoint that sounds like we're dating Jesus. And so those kind of, I want to curl up in your lap and stroke your beard kind of songs. And if you're a dude, it's like, that's kind of kind of weird, man. Whereas I think on the flip side, we have the option to sing songs, and there's a lot of them that paint God in a more victorious, glorious light, where if you're singing a song like How Great Thou Art, where it's all depicting the glory and honor and majesty of God and how God is just incredible and there's no one like him, I think it's a lot easier for a guy who's walking in to get behind the epic anthem about a God who is ruling and reigning versus kind of singing a more softer, slow, I'm in love with you, Jesus, kind of song, you know what I mean?
Yeah, another example, specifically using the song Pieces that I was just talking about, that song is very much a song that if we led in a corporate setting or if we sang it in a corporate setting, that it would probably really confuse some dudes.
Yeah.
Because honestly, like if you look at those lyrics, I want to challenge you to look at those lyrics. Look at those lyrics and tell me that that could not be a song that a girl writes to her boyfriend.
Yeah.
Because it's a song that she wrote from her journal. That whole album, she said that she wrote from her journal. I'm sure through prayer and reading scripture and wrestling with those ideas is where her journal entries came from. But I think that's a song that could be really misconstrued. I think another aspect of You're Beautiful that could really throw some dudes off is that the chorus basically of the song is You're Beautiful, and then we sing O's.
Yeah.
And then we tell him he's beautiful again, and then we sing more O's.
Yeah.
And I think that's just not a super normal thing.
Yeah.
That I think specifically for unchurched and for dudes, it can be really uncomfortable. But I also want to be a worship leader who challenges people, because I don't want people to necessarily feel comfortable, because right. We're not called to feel comfortable. We're called to follow Christ.
Yeah.
And I think there is an aspect of singing about the beauty of God that is really amazing.
Yeah.
As a dude, I like to consider myself to be a manly man. I'm pretty emotional. Yeah. My wife might disagree that I'm a manly man, but as a guy who likes to think he's a dude's dude,
yeah,
like it could be really freeing
yeah.
at times to just really focus on the beauty of the Lord, because yeah. honestly, like sometimes guys don't want to admit it, but when we look at like a really pretty mountain range or yeah. the ocean or the sunset, our immediate thought is, man, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
We might not say it. We right. might be like, oh, that looks cool.
Oh, dude, tight.
Yeah, check that out. But I think we were created to recognize and understand and ascribe beauty to what is beautiful.
Totally.
And our God is beautiful.
Yeah.
And so just because sometimes guys are uncomfortable doesn't, it's not necessarily a bad thing in my book.
Yeah.
But I really want to be intentional to make sure that we're not singing a bunch of songs that make dudes really confused.
Yeah. So one more lens that we look through is the idea of, does this paint an accurate picture of the Christian life? Meaning, more so in the sense of songs about pain, suffering, stuff like that. Are we having a well-balanced view of what the Christian life is in the songs that we sing? And so I'm going to be really honest. This is a concept that wasn't really introduced to me until recently. Brett and I were in California for a conference, and this guy was talking on a racial reconciliation panel, and he was explaining that one of the reasons why our churches are still so segregated is because the white church doesn't always sing songs that make non-white people feel at home, in the sense of, if you read the Psalms, 60% of the Psalms are about victory and joy and just praising God, but 40 of them are still praising God, but they're songs of lament. They're songs that are talking about pain, suffering, trial. And if you compare that to hymnals, I think he said that like 85% of a Baptist hymnal is songs of joy, victory, and only 15% is about lament. And then if you take another step into just the kind of basic contemporary Christian stuff, about 95% are all about victory, and only 5% are about pain, suffering, and trial. And so what's happening is that if you walk into a church and everything is about, hey, we've made it, God has accomplished, you know, everything for us, which he has salvifically, but if you walk in and you realize everyone in here sings as if they've already arrived, and my personal experience tells me that I have definitely not arrived, that I'm still longing for the day when Christ returns and makes all things new and fixes what is broken in the world, then there is a disconnect, and it's like, I'm going to go somewhere else where they understand what I'm going through, right? And so I think that in a church that is predominantly white, I think it's really easy to fall into that trap where we realize life's pretty great, right? Because we've never had to experience racism. We've never had to experience prejudice. We've never had to experience all of those things that our black brothers and sisters have to walk through. And so I think that we want to be people who think accurately about what are the struggles that people walking in the room have. And even, you know, getting away from race, like even someone who's just broken and they're hurting and they're having to walk through loss or pain or grief. If I'm walking in and every Sunday, everything is about life is good, life is great, and we're not addressing, hey, we also recognize that you might be in a really painful spot in life where you just want to sing a song that has to do with lament, a song that yes, has hope to it because we're pointing to the fact that we have a God who has promised to return and fix what's been broken. But there's something really defeating about walking into a place and singing songs that don't resonate with just the ups and downs of life. So one of the things that we want to do is we want to make sure that we're singing songs that point to, hey, we recognize that life is amazing, yes, because we have a God who has gone to great lengths to save us, but that we still live in a broken world that's plagued by sin, and we're going to sing songs that acknowledge the brokenness that we're still walking through.
Yeah, I think just a couple of specific examples. A song that we've done a handful of times at the Aardvark is You Are God and You Are Good by Austin Stone. The verses of this song, for the fatherless we pray be the father, let those who lost their way be understood, for the widow and the broken be the lover who will hold them, because we know that you are God and you are good. For those who mourn today be comfort, and who hunger after you be satisfied, you bless the poor in spirit, for heaven is their kingdom, because we know that you are God and you are good. And I think there's a balance of identifying this pain or this suffering or this trial that we're in, and kind of juxtaposing it with this truth that God is good.
Totally.
And I think there's a way to lament and be victorious at the same time. But I think if we're not talking about the pain, because everybody's dealing with something. Everybody is going through something.
Totally.
Like, I mean, I could talk to you about the last 2 years of my life and all of the things that have happened and how many trials that God's put me through.
Totally.
And I could talk about that, but if I never sing about it, if I just sing about, oh, well, he did this and he did that and life is good and you give me joy down deep in my soul. Like, that's true. Yeah. But if we're not talking about the hard and the hurt and the pain that we really go through as believers, because we're not called to have an easy life.
Right.
Our life is going to be hard because we're doing something that goes against the grain of our culture and we're doing something that goes against our nature.
Yeah.
By following the Lord because of our sin, things are going to be hard.
Right.
And things are not going to always go in our favor. And I think we need to be a people who really are quick to sing about and talk about and identify those areas that may be really, really difficult. Another song that I thought of as you were talking was Oh Come to the Altar, which is by Elevation. And it's a song that is written like as far as like a person, like what perspective it's written from, it can be kind of confusing. It's kind of us encouraging each other as a group to come back to the Lord because he's waiting for us and then kind of ascribing truth to him. But the lyrics of the first verse, are you hurting and broken within, overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. And I think there are a lot of churches that won't sing about those things, that won't even acknowledge that there is this pain, because so many churches want their people to look like they have it all together.
Right.
Or maybe it's just the people want to look like they have it all together and it becomes a church-wide thing as it spreads. But
totally.
We want to be vulnerable. We want to talk about our pain.
Yeah.
We want to sing songs like, even when it hurts like hell, I'll praise you.
Yeah, totally.
Because it's not easy. It's not an easy life that we are called to live.
Right.
But we're longing for the day and we're
totally.
We're ready.
Yeah.
For Jesus to call us home whenever he's ready, but
amen, dude.
It's a tough thing to do, to walk with the Lord in the world that we live in. But we need to remember that even when we're hurting, even when things suck, that God's still good.
Yeah, totally.
As we, before we finish up, I just want to, I mentioned it earlier, this idea of the different categories of styles of songs that we would sing. I think the majority of the songs that we'll sing have aspects of these different things, mm-hmm. but I think if I were to put it into two main categories, it's like storytelling or ascribing truth about right. God, and then there's kind of the prayer and like longing side of things, like right. our response. I think for songs that are specifically about who God is or about how God saved us or the ways that he moves, I think if the words of the song are not founded in scripture, if you can't back them up in scripture, then I think it's really dangerous to sing.
Totally.
I mentioned it earlier, but we're called to worship in spirit and in truth. And we can worship in spirit and really have an interaction and a moment with the Lord, quote unquote.
Right.
Which is a whole other topic, but... We can experience God's goodness
right.
in a certain setting without necessarily understanding the full scope of his truth.
Right.
That's not the same as experiencing God's goodness as we are worshiping him for who he is.
Yeah.
And so for those songs, I really want to be a person who is ready to defend what we're singing and why we're singing.
Right.
And I've had conversations with different people in our ministry about this idea of, yeah. I really want it to be scripturally based.
Right.
Because if it's not, then I don't know what we're doing. Right. And I feel like I'm failing.
Yeah.
Because I'm called to lead people to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And if I can't back up those words with scripture, then right. I'm failing.
Yeah.
And if there are times, please come talk to me. If you yeah. feel like there's a lyric that doesn't make sense or there's something that I've said or something that we've sang that doesn't fit with scripture,
yeah.
please come talk to me. I might have missed it. I might have just been so into the song that I didn't think about it.
Yeah.
There have been times in the past as a worshiper in the congregation that I've sang the wrong words.
Which, worship heresy is one of my favorite things in the world.
Yeah.
Like when you accidentally sing like a word wrong, it's like, oh, that's totally not true anymore.
I've got a really good example of that.
Yeah.
When Forever Rain first came out, uh-huh. The line, the riches of your love will always be enough.
Yeah.
For some reason in my head, I always sang, the riches of your love will never be enough. I don't understand why. I'm thankful that that's never happened from stage yeah. as I've led worship. But when that song first came out, my brain just wanted to say, man, your love will never be enough. I don't know. Maybe it was just my sin.
Dude, I heard a guy once singing In Christ Alone, and the actual line is, because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul was counted free.
Oh, no.
And he switched it up. He says, because the sinful Savior died,
no.
my sinless soul is counted free. And it's just one of those things that's like, it happens, man. I mean, it's the exact opposite of the gospel, but it happens, you know?
Man. But then on the other side of things, kind of the response, prayer, longing side, like I think about songs like Set a Fire, or even aspects of O Come to the Altar. I could come up with a long list of songs. Build My Life.
Yeah.
There are a lot of songs that are our response or our hope as a response as a church.
Right.
That I think are, you have a little bit more freedom because it's our response to truth.
Right.
But I do think it's really important to make sure that everything can match up with scripture.
Totally.
But, you know, I was talking about the storytelling, the ascribing side of things with someone before, and I was like, man, if we can't find it in scripture in any of our songs, then let's not do them.
Yeah.
And they were like, well, what about Set a Fire? And I was like, oh, dang, I didn't even think yeah. about this, like, total other side of the coin.
Yeah, totally.
That's really important. I mean, the Psalms are very musical, they're very poetic, yeah. and a lot of them are a response to God's truth, and right. a lot of them are, like we said, 40% of them are lament.
Yeah.
And I think it's really important for us to be willing to differentiate and have the understanding and the ability to differentiate between this is what scripture says about God and this is what I'm wrestling with
yeah.
about God and how we interact with him.
Totally.
And I want us to be a church that has a good balance of those.
Yeah, totally.
Because our relationship with the Lord isn't one-sided.
Yeah.
And I think we should be challenging ourselves to respond in certain ways. And I think if we're not, I think we're missing the mark.
Yeah, for sure. But as we close, the ultimate point of all of this is we want to kind of show that we put a lot of thought personally into why we sing certain songs, but also we want to teach you guys to be thoughtful, you know, like, mm-hmm. think about what you're singing, because I think it's so easy to get swayed by melody and beats and stuff like that, because that's how music, like God has created music in the coolest way, where I can strum a chord and I know exactly what you're going to feel the minute that I strum that chord. Mm-hmm. Because with the music works, we feel certain things based on certain chords. And so really great songwriters know that if I can create this chord structure, I'm going to make you feel a certain emotion. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really easy for us to get caught up in the emotion of it, to where we stop thinking about the actual words that we're singing. And so the whole point is just be thoughtful. Just be thinking about why we sing what we sing, you know?
Yeah, intentionality is the key.
One last thing. I was just thinking about this. I feel like we used a bunch of examples of, like, Bethel and of saying, hey, like, this is what you don't do. We actually love them. Like, One Thing Remains, one of my favorite songs of all time. Seas of Crimson, phenomenal song.
Yep.
Right? And so, anyway, I hope you don't hear us being like, oh, those are, like, Bethel haters, because we're not. That's just the songs that came to mind, because...
Yeah. I love Hillsong.
Yeah.
I love Elevation.
Yeah.
They just have some misses sometimes.
Yeah. The only reason why we don't have more misses is because we've only written one song.
Yeah.
You know? And we just happen to hit it on the head.
Yeah.
You know? So that... Maybe the key is we start writing more songs, and then we'll have, like, misses too, and we'll, like, balance out with all those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I hope this was helpful in thinking about as being more intentional with the words that we sing. That's our show. We'll see y'all next week.
Love you guys.